Like, what's something that, like, a white therapist would say to you that just, like, it don't work?
Just move out. You know?
A lot of time they be right, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's right. Detachment is key. Observe, not absorb. You like that one?
Observe, not absorb.
Yeah.
You didn't even mess that up.
Let me explain. I know I was about to.
Do I stop you from what makes you happy? Do I stop you?
No.
I don't stop you.
No.
So why are you stopping me?
But can I say that this is not normal? A lot of us are faced with situations where we have to go back to our toxic parents or hang out with toxic friends who we don't necessarily want to be around. But sometimes we have to, right? So this episode is for all those people who want to protect their peace and learn tangible, realistic ways on how to do so. I feel like when you do search this topic up on Google or ChatGPT, you don't get the most realistic, tangible ways to fix this, right? Because a lot of them aren't catered to people like us, South Asian kids, children of immigrants. So this episode is for all those people who are visiting home or hanging out with those people that don't necessarily serve them in the healthiest way possible. We're going to share some of our favorite tips to just be more at peace with yourself and protect your peace, those wellness habits that you can implement into your life. So we hope you enjoy this episode.
It's true. We are back. Again, for another episode of Difficult Dish.
Back again. What Difficult Dish?
What's that from?
I thought it was from something, but maybe not. I think okay. I just made it up.
Okay. So happy we moved past that. This podcast is hosted by myself. I'm sorry. This podcast is hosted by her.
Huakon and himself.
And himself, my Masha Munir. And that was her intro. Before we get any further, like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate the podcast, review the podcast, leave a comment. Please do any sort of interaction with us because
we're going to be interactive. And it's like, do you want us to start begging? Do you want us to get down on a knee
like to
start
begging?
We
like to be interacted with, okay? I don't really talk to anyone throughout the day.
Yeah. This is our only source of, like, interaction.
This is the first time I've opened my mouth.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I did work all day. And for that,
as the norm,
I have a Bloom Energy. Quite good. Should I have
Bloom? Are they sponsoring us?
They're not sponsoring
Why
us.
Why are you like yet. Showing it so proudly? Yeah,
because we are, hold it together. We are having it together. This is our drink.
I thought that today in our episode, we can finally have a communal drink. Usually we have our separate coffees, waters, or energy drinks, whatever it is. But today I thought we can have one conjoined. You know,
we went to a seafood restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I ordered a lobster ramen as my entree. And I don't think they salted it. Kind of tasted like water with rubber.
Yeah.
And they took it off the bill. Very nice of them. Shout out.
And it's not, they didn't take off the bill because he complained about the taste of it. He did not do that. He just asked, like, oh, my food hasn't been here at all because I was starting to eat already.
Yeah.
And the food was taking 20-30 minutes, and then they just immediately took it off the bill. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, wow.
Very nice of them.
Yeah,
very nice of them.
You want to give a shout out to the restaurant name or
nah? But I have been on a ramen kick.
Why would you not give
shout
a
out Bulldog Ramen?
Okay.
Make good creamy carbonara, and it's hello.
Yeah,
shout out to them. They know what they're doing. Ramadan coming up, that's gonna be,
I
know,
hate
my
to say
culture.
But your socks smell so bad. Like,
really?
This has been, like, a reoccurring thing with you
really?
Recently. Yeah.
Just ignore it.
Okay, I'll ignore it.
Just ignore it. Yeah, Ramadan coming up. You excited for Ramadan? Thoughts on Ramadan?
I'm excited.
Thoughts on Ramadan?
I'm just trying to think of, like, a healthier meal plan.
Yeah, that's
I feel like
important.
It's hard
that's
to
important.
Stay fit and active.
Because you know what people be doing in Ramadan?
Eat all the fried foods.
I didn't eat all day. So?
And I feel like every year I have, like, a conundrum where I don't know exactly when to work out. And yeah. Every year I feel like I get closer and closer to the perfect time, but then I kind of just like let it
what's
go.
Your like what's your go-to time?
I think what the ideal like? Time is like right before you breakfast.
Yeah,
like right
like
before
the,
sunset
that's the best time.
Because
it
then
sucks,
it's like if you are thirsty or hungry, you're gonna eat like right after soon anyway, you know.
It'll suck, but yeah.
But anyway, what are we talking about today?
Well, so this week we're talking about something that you thought of.
Yeah.
We're talking about protecting your peace. Protecting your peace. What does that mean? Protect your peace. What's that mean?
Protecting your peace just means, you know, having the habits and the routines to know how to handle a toxic relationship.
Damn.
Or not a relationship, but like, you know, friendship.
Could
it could
be
a
could
relationship,
be
relationship with parents. But, you know, a toxic environment is what I'm trying to say. I feel like protecting your peace has kind of been coined in the wellness like industry, you know, as like a white term. Okay. And it kind of goes with like the yoga and like the drinking the green juice and waking up at 5 a.m. and this and that, which are important, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also plays a big part in like our culture specifically, because there are more things beyond just like drinking the juice and doing the yoga, mm-hmm. you know, like especially if you do ask this question to ChatGPT, like, oh, Mr. Chat. How do you protect your peace in a toxic environment, right?
Mm.
Usually those answers aren't specifically catered to South Asians or children actually. Of immigrants, They're even not. If you do a Google search. Obviously, some of the things can be overarching and there's going to be overlaps and you can kind of take inspo from those recommendations that they're saying. But at the end of the day, our ways of protecting our peace, especially if it's like a toxic environment with family or whatever it is as a child of immigrants, it kind of is different than what a white therapist would say to you.
That's very true.
You know?
That's very true. Like, what's something that, like, a white therapist will say to you that just, like, it don't work?
Just move out. You know?
Well, a lot of time they be right, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's right.
They be right, though.
But I feel like it isn't as realistic as you saying that to, like, another white person.
But, you know... What? I saw a brown therapist
mm.
and he told me the same things in like the same manner. And I will go back and forth with him. I'd be like, yo, like, you know how it is, like with, you know, with our parents, like, yeah. da, da, da. Like, I can't just do that. He was like, no, you can.
Mm.
And I used to get so mad at him. Cause I'm like, yo, like, I know you get it. Why are you being like this?
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of right, though.
He was right.
So a lot of time these white people be, you know, they be saying the right things. It's just, you know, not in the right language. Mm. That's it. You know, they don't have the full picture.
Yeah.
So for that, we don't want to, you know, interpret what they're saying. You understand?
What's your definition of protecting peace?
Protecting your peace is like, when I think protecting peace, I think of like, you already know what you like and what you don't like, but there are like outside factors that don't care, that will do whatever they want and not have any sort of care or empathy for like how you're feeling.
Yeah.
So I think of like protecting your peace is like, you kind of already know how to stay in like a calm state of mind and you are already chasing that, but you just got these outside factors that you know, don't really care for that. Mm-hmm. So so it's all about, you know, just balancing other people's needs while prioritizing yours, which is tough, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to treat others while, you know, making sure you okay, your head's above water. Not easy.
Do you feel like this type of episode would have been helpful for you like 5-6 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like at the end of the day, yeah, there are, you know, self-help videos or podcasts and things like that, but it's not really catered for people like us, you know? And I think why we wanted to make this episode and why we felt like it's important is because we have, you know, friends, or we've even gone through things like this where we aren't in the best or the healthiest family or environment, right? And I feel like it's really important to talk about like realistic, tangible things that you can do to kind of stay like healthy minded and stay at peace. Because like, I don't know about you, I feel like when I've done all of this maturing and growing up and all of this inner work as I get older, whenever I go back to like my hometown, or if I see someone that I grew up with from like elementary or high school.
Yeah, you feel like you backtrack.
I feel like I backtrack and I feel like I revert back to that space, you know? Yeah. Even if I like sit on the same bed that I did when I was growing up, like the same bed that I did my homework on, that I slept on, that I had my friends over in. And when I come back to that same bed at age 26, I just feel like that same high school version of myself. And it's like, I know in my head that I'm not that person anymore because I've grown so much physically, mentally, spiritually. And I've done the work to just not react the same way, but it's like, I don't know, your surroundings play such a mm-hmm. big part on you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like that's why holiday season can be so anxiety inducing sometimes. And we kind of talked about it in our holiday episode, because maybe people don't want to really see those childhood friends that they don't have the best relationship with anymore. Maybe they don't want to see those toxic family members. And it's just such a wild feeling, because it's like, you know you're not that person anymore, and you definitely don't want to revert back to that angry self or that person that has like that childhood trauma. But it's like being in that environment or being surrounded by those people, it just does things to you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy.
I do. I don't like doing that. I was talking today with my manager about, you know, running into old high school friends. And I don't really like it because it's just high school talk. You know, it's just old school talk. And I'm not trying to do all that.
Yeah, it's always, you know, the go-to, like, oh, how are you doing? And then
remember junior good old times. Six period.
Yeah. But then also it's like they don't have anything else to grasp onto to hold a conversation, you know?
No, they do. It's just easy. And
it's easier. Yeah. You want to get started on?
Nah, you can.
Oh, wow.
Start off for me. Please.
Yeah.
Name me one.
So let's start off with the fact that, like, we want to create this episode just because we feel like it's important to have these very niche down specific, like, tangible things you can do to protect your peace. But we also wanted to open it up to the people who are specifically, like, visiting toxic family or who has to be around toxic friends. Not necessarily if you are stuck in a toxic environment with your family, just because that's sometimes out of your control. And we are talking more of you've done the inner work, you've done the healing, and you go back to visit your friends or family that you don't necessarily want to be around. So yeah, these are some of our personal tips, because I feel like, you know, both of us, we've done that personal growth, but sometimes we still have to go back to those regressive type of environments.
Regressive.
You like that word?
Good word. I thought you'd like that one. Where'd you find that one?
I just thought of it.
No, yeah. You got it from somewhere. It's gonna be a book. You're a reader.
I'm a reader. From somewhere. You go back to those regressive type of environments where it makes you backtrack and it makes you kind of forget everything that you've learned, right?
Yeah, that happens.
So this can kind of apply to family, friends, parents. Maybe you have a toxic pet. Who knows?
Toxic pet?
Who knows?
Pets driving you crazy.
You know, my pets, like, they're more of my parents. Like, they don't want to come near me.
They don't.
Like, my parents giving spoil you a hard them. Time
by asking you to buy a house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Telling you to save your money.
But something that helps me when I am trying to protect my peace and I go back to a toxic environment is I try to have some mental conversations beforehand so that I can kind of
like prepare yourself.
Yeah, prepare. That's the word. I was trying to think of the word. Well, so I could prepare myself, right? Yeah. I'm the type of person that not overthinks. I do overthink sometimes, but I like thinking of the best case scenario and the worst case scenario. So for example, if I have a piece of news that I really want to share with my parents or friends or whoever else, I have to kind of think about how they will react, unfortunately, just so I can be prepared, right? And I think this type of practice helps you think of the outcome and helps you think of who to share these pieces of news with. Maybe some people don't deserve the entirety of you, right? Some people don't deserve to get every single piece of personality of you, every single piece of information out of you, because they probably won't react the way that you want them to react, right? So think about who you want to reserve some pieces of information to, who you want to reserve your time to. And I think just mentally preparing yourself beforehand, whether it is like journaling or just how you want to go into this house or situation, it helps you think about how you would react, how someone else would react. It helps you think about how you want to spend your time there, like if you want to be in the direct space with them, if you want to be in another room. And it just helps you prepare better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like you do that sometimes?
Yeah, all the time. Don't have no expectations.
Yeah.
Expectations are low on the floor. Because you never know what can go on. And, you know, as long as you give yourself, you know, give yourself a little conversation beforehand. Like, hey, regardless of how this goes, just, you know, have some empathy. They're going through some, whatever the reason is.
Empathy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I feel like that's important, like what you just said. Because sometimes we are so focused on someone's output on us where we're so angry or, you know, we have a reaction. And obviously if they're continuously doing it without any sort of like apology, then it's not right. But we also don't realize that they're also going through their own thing. You know, like when a bully bullies, they're usually the ones that have a bad situation at home or they got bullied.
Damn. You thought that yourself?
Well,
That's like a newfound thought.
No, it's not a newfound
thought.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
That was a good one.
I thought you knew about that.
You're getting good with like metaphors, like off the top. Like usually you take like a couple, like half an hour to think.
Do
about
I?
It. Yeah, you'll come back and be like, oh yeah, by the way. Like, but no, you're getting good like on the spot. Kind of like me.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Pretty good.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah.
You got one?
Yeah. I just thought of it. It's not something that like I wrote down.
Oh, I see.
I just thought of this one. I'll call this one Follow the Lead. You understand what I'm
saying? Can you expand?
I'll expand.
All right.
This is what I mean by that. Because you know, a lot of time when we go back home, we chop it up with our parents. You know what? You know what upsets us?
Mm.
Is like the out-of-pocketness.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like the, you're happy, but they're mad.
Right.
You're mad, they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the you know, where did
that
come from?
You think the word for that is out-of-pocketness? I feel like that's just like on and off.
Yeah, same thing. But out of pocket as in like, where did this come from?
Oh,
you know,
see.
Where did this like
they're very
you
hot
see
and cold.
I'm happy, like, yeah, hot and cold.
Yeah. I was like, out of pocketness. Okay.
Same shit.
Okay.
And I think something that I started doing and started practicing is like when I go home and I see how my mom is like, not that I'll also be, like if she's mad, I'm not gonna also be mad, but I will not
step
be happy.
On her.
I will not share my good news. I will not go out of my way to try and make it happy, because I'm like, this is where we're at, this is cool, this is temporary, this is not gonna last. Maybe you gotta sleep it off, maybe I just gotta get you some french fries, maybe we just gotta chill out for a little bit, talk about whatever it is, and then, you know, we'll get good. And then, you know, it's like when she's in a good mood, that's when it's time to, you know, drop the, oh mom, I did this, I did that. You know, don't drop all the like the tough questions when she's mad or when she's happy. You know, when she's happy, keep it at that. You know, don't try to drop the ball, you know, just ride the wave like how it's going. And I think that has helped me a lot, because I feel like for the longest time I felt like I was the one that was like always in control of her emotions. Or I'm specifying my mom, this could mean anything. You know, and I think it was important to understand that, like, I can only control what I do. You know, I can't control how she's feeling. I can't control about what's going on at home. All I can do is take care of myself.
Yeah.
And if my good energy is other people feed on it, good for them. You know, if they don't, that's not on me. You know, all I could do is just take care of me. And I think that has helped me a lot. And that goes into, like, what I said earlier about just, like, managing expectations. Like, you walk in, you know, you see what time it is, and that's just what you follow, you know?
I like what you said.
I know.
You know, I think the theme for this episode is autonomy. And finally, sitting with the fact that you are not in control of other people's emotions, and you cannot let their emotions control your day, right? When you have autonomy over yourself, over your reactions, over your mindsets, that's when you fully have control of your own life. And that's when you will feel like other people's reactions or what they say to you or how they treat you won't impact you as much as it did before, when you felt like everything was out of your control and out of your hands, right? And like what you said before, maybe in our head before, we're like, oh my God, our parents are always mad at us. Maybe our mom is always mad at us. I can't ever tell them anything good about myself because they're going to react even worse or this and that. And that's going to ruin my entire day. Now I feel like with your like mental growth and just maturity, you've realized that you just have to like get your mother on like a good path first by doing the small things that will make her happier. And then you can tell her the news, and you've just kind of controlled the situation in your sense, you know? And you're also understanding that, like, her mood is not going to ruin your day for the most part. And you are doing your best to just, like, help the situation instead of hurt it more, and then without take it personally.
Putting, without putting, you know, your all into it. I'm not saying, you know, be completely hands off. Be like, all right, you figure that out. You know, like, be hands-on, da-da-da, but understand that, like, this is not in my control. I will do what I think is a good amount for me to do. And that's that. We're only in control of so much. You know? You understand what I'm saying?
I'm about to say a bar.
You?
You ready?
I've been waiting so long.
But it's not my own. It's but okay. It's a bar.
But still, like, if it comes from you. Like,
okay.
What is it like for me?
Detachment is key. Observe, not absorb. You like that one? You like that one? Yeah, I got you. I got you with that one, didn't
I? Observe, not absorb.
Yeah, let me explain.
You didn't even mess that
up. Let me explain. I know. I was about to. I was like shaking a little bit. I was like, oh my God, everyone's staring
Holy
at me.
Holy shit.
But okay, so Holy what I mean by shit. This is the importance of detachment, especially when you are visiting toxic friends or family, people that get under your skin constantly. I don't know about you guys, but growing up, I was always the type of person to react very quickly and react with anger and just be quick to conclusions because, like, my parents didn't understand me, or that's what I felt like, right? And as I've grown up more and more and I've had, you know, friend relationships, romantic relationships, whatever it is, I feel like I've learned to just be more mindful with the way I speak and more mindful with my own, like, thinking, where I'm not going to react as angrily, right? And I think it's really important, especially when you are resorting back to these toxic environments, because you might not have a choice but to. These people that you grew up with probably also expect you to, react the same way that you did growing up. You kind of have to be that person. If you know that they're not changing, if you know that they're always going to be this angry person or always this type of person that's trying to get under your skin, you have to be the first one to make that change, to not be angry back and react the way that you usually do. And this is so much easier said than done, obviously, because it's hard to just not be so angry when you have things to be angry about. But it's really important to just, like, do those mindful thinking and, like, that mindful work beforehand. So this takes years of work sometimes, right? So for example, for me, I like taking my yoga classes where I'm able to, like, sit with myself and just have that mindful work. I like journaling where I'm able to just write down my thoughts and, you know, instead of, like, venting to someone else or using like social media or drinking or whatever to, like, numb my feelings, I like writing it out instead of, like, just never, like, verbalizing it or thinking about it, right? And when you start detaching yourself from these reactions, it helps it not hit you as hard anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And it just gives you more space to be at peace and be in the quiet, you know. And it also kind of plays a part with what you said, because when you have these high expectations, especially if you feel like these shitty friends are going to change or these crappy parents are going to change when they've shown no sign that they are the past few years, you can't keep yelling back or being angry back, because you know at this point that's not really helping with much anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you have to sit with the truth, which is that they're not going to change. Me yelling at them back is not going to change anything.
Mm-mm.
I might as well just stay, I wouldn't say quiet, I would still say, like, say your truth, but I just wouldn't be yelling it out loud. I wouldn't be saying it in the same impactful way that you're used to growing up, that would just lead to tears and, you know, shut doors, whatever it is, because that will just help you be more at peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Detachment is key,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, we have an episode called, like, The Art of Detachment.
Do we? I forgot.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
did it a while ago.
And I think, like, also on top of that, a lot of us have big egos, right?
Not
where
right.
Even if we're not right in something, we're going to be, like, to the grave fighting about it, right? Just because we want to be right.
Yeah.
Even if we know in the deepest of our hearts that we should apologize or we should try to fix something, if you have a big-ass ego, like many people do, you're going to do everything in your power to say whatever made up truth you have in your head, to yell it against the world, yell it against whoever, and just never take accountability, right? So you have to have an ego death. I feel like we should do, like, a whole episode on this, because I feel like both of us had big egos growing up. You have to, like, think about how to take accountability and have that ego death, you know.
Pride is the devil.
Yeah. We have an episode on accountability, right?
I'm sure we do.
Yeah.
If not,
we do.
Make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know, man, if you want an episode on that.
Yeah, man. I'm pretty good at putting my pride aside.
Yeah.
I think it's such an important thing to learn how to do.
Yeah. How do you think you did that?
I don't know. Just, like, have a big sister that helps, you know.
Really?
Makes you realize that you don't know anything.
I'm a big sister.
It's just, you know, just being surrounded by people that are older than you, that know more than you, that have experienced more than you, that are always able to, you know, tell you that you don't know none.
Yeah.
You do not know none.
Yeah.
It's very important.
I wish I had a big sister in this area of the field.
Well, you do. Me.
Oh. What the hell is that? What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Do you have one, buddy?
I got a couple. I'm trying to think which one. I got one.
Yeah.
In the field of, you know, toxic homes, you know what it is? Sometimes you just can't offer choice.
What do you mean by
choice
that?
Choice is not a thing. Options are not a thing.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is one thing that I've recognized is that when you present like multiple like situations, when you present multiple like realities, it can send people in like a whirlwind, you know, it can send them in like a, you know, a lot of our people are so quick to overthink and so quick to think about the worst possible case scenario a lot of the time. And sometimes we just gotta take them down one road and tell them to like not look anywhere else. And a lot of time that can make them much, much happier because like they're living in like the present. They're not spending their time thinking about this or that. Like, for example, when I'm trying to think of like a not super personal, like when my sister was like looking for wedding venues, she looked at a bunch of wedding venues, and my mom wanted this for wedding venue or that wedding venue, and the one that my sister ended up picking, my sister loved, and my mom wasn't in love with, but my sister was like, we're doing this one, like there are not other options, like I want this one, and this is the one that I want. And my mom kind of was fun. I could have picked a better one. Could have da da da. The day of the wedding, the day after the wedding, my mother's in love with the venue. It was the perfect venue. Yeah. Oh, you were right. Oh, da da da. And a lot of the time, it's like, you know, if my sister came to my mom and was like, oh, like, mom, pick between these two. Like, my mom's head is already in the wrong place, you know? And I say that's a long-winded example, but I think that can be brought down to something like much more minute, which is like, just take care of things for them, you know. Don't offer them the space to make things a bigger deal than like they actually are, because that'll send you in a whirlwind. That'll mess up, you know, how you're feeling emotionally. And you know, a lot of the time when we come back home already knowing what keeps us at peace, like it's so easy to be thrown off, especially if we know like a lot of the toxic traits that like our parents can like embellish upon us. When we come home already having like a plan and enacting on that plan, by the time you leave, you're gonna be very, very happy about like the way that like you treat the situation.
I have a hot take.
Yeah,
you ready to hear it?
Okay.
I agree with what you said, like eliminating choice, right? But also it puts a lot of pressure on the child to be that constant person to be in control. And you know, whether it is choosing a restaurant or choosing the vacation spot and paying for everything because your parents are incapable or don't want to or are too like picky choosy or you know, whatever it is, because then it puts that pressure on you. And sometimes you do want your parents to have some insight on something like a big decision like that where it's valuable and they have some backing to it and they're helping you in some way instead of you constantly doing everything.
Yeah, you got a point, you know.
We've talked about that before.
To each their own, you know your family.
Yeah.
You know which side you lean on.
Yeah.
Both are true. There are times when like you gotta give them, you know, you do this. You decide this. But there's a time and place, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, good.
That was a good one. Good hot take.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
Thanks.
Good hot take.
Thanks.
You got anything else? So you can do one more, then we can go into these responses because y'all went crazy.
I have two more. I think one thing that helps me is mapping out places of comfort and privacy before going home. Because, you know, truth be told, you're going to have a situation that probably overwhelms you, that doesn't respect your boundaries, that upsets you. And kind of like what I said in the beginning, where you kind of plan out how these conversations are going to go, these potential conversations, and who to share what with, who to spend the time with. It's also important to have these places of safety. So whether that is, you know, in the bedroom, you can kind of close the door if you have a fight, or you know that in the shower, no one can come and bother you, hopefully, right?
Hopefully.
Or if it's you running errands by yourself. I think one big thing for me that I didn't have growing up as much is privacy. I felt like my boundaries were constantly just disrespected, and the only place of solace I really had was the bathroom, right? So I would spend like hours in there because that was like the one place that had a lock and no one could bother me, even though little brothers.
What about him?
He would try to take a scissor to open the door. Like,
why is he trying to open the door?
He's acting like there weren't other bathrooms in the home. He just wanted to use that specific one. So we would fight over the bathroom.
I understand.
Anyway.
I do.
So I remember just like sitting on the bathroom floor, just on my hidden phone. I remember just writing in my diary on the floor in the bathroom. And, you know, like what I said, sometimes you go back home, even in your grown ass age, and you still feel those feelings of hurt and anger from your teenage eras or whatever it is. So, yeah, I try to have like my own space in whatever place I don't feel as welcomed in. Even if it is you hanging out with like old high school friends that you're not really close to anymore, who bring you more anxiety than peace, and you're at dinner with them because one of your best friends are still besties with them. You know, go to the bathroom or go outside and get some fresh air instead of staying at that restaurant constantly and like getting more and more anxious sitting at that dinner table. You know, I think it's just really important to have an exit plan and have what you said, like the lack of giving your parents a lack of choice. So whether that is telling them like, okay, I'm leaving on this specific day so that they can't try to extend it if you're not comfortable, or if it is having a safe space, you know, or having like an exit vehicle or a place like a or person car, or, you know, something that you can resort to if you are feeling down.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Have like a getaway car, like getaway driver.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand. That was a great tip.
Thanks.
Yeah, like in the mornings, I like to go to the coffee shop. That's like my little like hour of
that's your
peace.
Getaway?
That's like my little hour of peace every morning.
An hour?
Yeah, like half an hour drive there, half an hour.
Oh, back. You mean in Florida?
Yeah, in Florida.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I drive half an hour to the coffee shop.
It was so crazy because, you know, in Florida recently, we were all so stressed over his sister's wedding. Like, so stressed. We were, like, working, building everything, doing the dances and stuff.
Yeah.
And somehow, he still had the mental capacity to be like, oh, like, let's go get some coffee. Like, let me tell you, like, there was one day before the guy hulud where we were all so stressed out because the guy hulud was at home. So we were building the decor. We had literally every hour, every 30 minutes packed to the punch with things that we had to do to make this happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And his coffee shop is literally across the other side of town, right?
It is.
And he had to do some errands, like pick up the cake, get the florals, get, you know, this and that for the guy hulud stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why he wanted to make a pit stop by going like an hour the other way before doing the main stuff for the guy.
Do I stop you from what makes you happy? Do I stop you?
No.
I don't stop you.
No.
So why are you stopping me?
But can I like say that this is not normal? I have one more if that's okay.
Yeah, please enlighten me.
My last thing for now is make sure you still try to maintain those mindsets and those routines that you have just like in your normal life, whether it is you living outside of home, like routines that you have just on the everyday, because again, like what I said, when you do go back to your childhood home or your childhood friends that you're not close to anymore, sometimes you revert back to your old self. So the more you try to maintain those habits that you've already had for the past few years, the more it will make you feel you're in normal life, right? So try to get those 6 to 7 hours of sleep. Try to still get your workout and your fitness in. But, like, maintaining those wellness things that you do for yourself, because those things at the end of the day will ground you. Even if you are feeling some type of way, if you feel overwhelmed, anxious, those small things that you do for yourself at the end of the day, self-care, you know, it helps you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. I love, even if I'm not in, like, a toxic environment, if I'm just having a rough day, if I'm just overwhelmed with work.
What are you doing?
Whatever it is. I'm just, like, excited to do my skincare and Fortnite at night.
She is. She really is, guys. She's not even lying about that. Especially the second part that she said.
What was the second part that I said?
You don't want to have, like, a little segment, like, a little, like, Fortnite Fridays, like,
honestly,
like a little section where you, like, talk about your recent, like, how your last week has gone.
No, honestly, that's a good idea. Yeah. You know what?
What?
That might be the one.
Fortnite, what?
Fortnite Fridays. What are we but doing you know Fridays? What? You know, like, how people
we just
post
on our stories.
Like, if you guys are on, like, the Instagram marketing side of things, where people are like, oh, you should, like, as an influencer, as a creator, you should show your personality in some things. I feel like I do a good amount of that, right? Like, I show my personality, my hobbies and interests and things like that. But, like, how do we get into the nitty gritty? And I think the top two things that I have.
Yeah, what is it?
My mug collection and Fortnite. Fortnite Fridays.
You know what you should do?
Yeah.
Combine them.
Like a new mug every day with the new topic of, like, Fortnite. Guys, if I started streaming Fortnite. Tell me the truth.
Yes,
would you guys watch it?
We'd all watch. I promise.
Everyone would watch. You guys would all tune in.
Every single one of us. You wouldn't? Be honest. If you're watching
don't be honest.
If you are watching this podcast, you would watch a stream. That's a fact. And I would be in the background.
What the hell are you going to do? Coaching me?
They're right.
He gets mad at me when I coach him angrily.
Guys, it's not even a. It's like, it's harassment. It's not even coaching. She's harassing me.
You know how we're making this episode on toxic environment?
Like,
I'm the toxic environment.
I'm trying to protect my peace from my toxic environment.
Don't say all that. That's not nice.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Okay.
As you guys know, we asked you guys beforehand on our Instagram at difficultish to share your thoughts and feelings and opinions and thoughts and feelings on our upcoming topics of the week of difficultish.
Yeah.
This week, we did that.
Yeah.
And we asked you guys, and here's what y'all said.
By the way, I hope you guys liked this episode and you thought that some things were helpful that you can also put into your real life and just find some more peace when you are going into a toxic environment.
If not, listen to it again.
Yeah. And we also have other episodes on just how to handle toxic family.
Yeah, taxes.
Taxes, too. That's another toxic part of life. But anyway, this week I asked you guys, how do you protect your peace in a toxic environment? We would love to hear any of the tips you have so we can feature in this episode.
Yeah.
So you guys gave us some of your own personal insight, and we will share some, as always, right?
Right.
So someone said, making sure I have some alone time every day, even if it's to the shower or listening to this pod.
That's not alone time.
Here with you. I think that's really important because
alone time.
When you are living with toxic family or, you know, not living in the healthiest environment, sometimes it feels like you're not filling your own cup. It feels like you're stretching yourself thin because you're helping out so many other people, like your parents or your sibling.
Yeah.
And you're not doing anything for yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like having that small, like, safe space, like what I mentioned before, having that alone time to do something for yourself, whether it is self-care, your skincare routine, having one game for yourself, right?
Yeah.
It kind of grounds you and it gives you some room to fill up your own cup before you start doing so many other things for other people, right?
Very true. Very true.
And it also helps you regulate your own feelings and thoughts, you know, in that little alone time. Solo time is the best.
Yeah, sometimes, you know when you have, like, the busy, like, super social day and you just need, like, a quick, like, not even quick, 6 hour, just, like, you know, debrief, rot time.
You can relate?
No.
He's never done that in his life. Yesterday, he was just sitting on the couch. He was like, I feel like I'm at a resort. All he did was sit on the couch and watch TV.
I had a long weekend, and I was just, you know, really embracing my, like, downtime.
Yeah, you deserve that.
I guess so.
You guys are funny, because some of you guys really, like, put in some just right there answers.
Yeah, you know, difficult.
Someone said, I moved to another country. Someone said, leave. Someone said, just don't speak to them.
Facts.
Honestly, those are all true.
That kind of went
off. Those are all true. Because sometimes you got to do what you got to do and leave that environment completely. But this is for the people who don't have that privilege, right?
I like that.
Someone said, not taking things personally and creating a life outside of that environment, too.
Yeah. 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 That what goes on in there, that's not all there is to you. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to you.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know if we did talk about this in a previous episode, but I remember when I did move out for the first time alone, I had this feeling of uncertainty, and I felt like I had an identity crisis because I was an eldest daughter for my entire life.
Yeah.
Where I was doing so much for other people. And this is also similar to if you quit a career that you were, you know, that you were part of for years, if you stopped going to school because you graduated and you're finally an adult, you're like, who am I outside of being a student? Who am I outside of this career?
Yeah.
Same thing as being an eldest daughter, right? Who am I outside of serving other people? And I feel like you have like an identity crisis when you aren't doing those things as often anymore because you don't know who you are just for yourself, right?
Right.
So I think it's really important what this person said to have your own hobbies and have a space outside of just your family or your friends who are creating that toxic environment, who you can lean on, who you can hang out with, who can be that safe space. And this is also similar to being in a relationship. You don't want to lose yourself in that relationship, right? Like, mm-hmm. Mushu and I both preach your individual, like, hobbies, interests, having your individual solo time, because we don't want to just do everything together where our friends start meshing together, our time together is just 24/7, mm-hmm. because then you don't have your own sense of identity, and it's really important to just have an outside life, especially when you feel like you don't deserve to, or you feel like you don't have the time to, or you feel like no one will understand you, because that's probably when you need it the most.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
You like that one?
Good one, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, good one, buddy. Good one, buddy. How you feel? Good one?
Yeah.
Good one.
I feel like I got a lot off my chest. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, yeah.
You know. I feel like 16-year-old self me is...
Yeah, shout out to him.
Him? My 16-year-old self.
Sorry.
I feel like she can breathe if she listened to this episode, you know?
Mm.
So hopefully it can help you breathe a little bit better.
Yeah. Well said.
Feel more at peace.
Well said. Well said. All
right. You got any 10-second advice?
Yeah, my 10-second advice
is... That was a little bit too quick. I'm scared. That's the quickest that you've ever responded.
I have one.
Okay.
Now I can see this one coming.
I don't know what the actual term for this rule is, but apparently there's this thing where if you're trying to look more put together and feel a little bit more confident, you know, just exterior confidence, we're not talking about interior confidence, try partaking in the 3-thing rule. Again, I don't know the name of the rule, where you can either have your hair put together, either have your face like... feel more confident with your skincare, your makeup, whatever it is, or have a nice outfit on. So if you have one of those 3, you'll feel more put together and confident.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I relate to that.
Yeah, because I feel like there are days where I'm just, like, not feeling the best. You know, if I'm going to a workout class or I'm just, like, on my period or something, I don't feel my best. And if I just work a little bit harder, spend that extra 5 minutes to do my hair or even put on some mascara, it just makes me feel a little bit nicer. Or even put on a matching set, like what I'm wearing today, a matching like workout set. You know?
Yeah, good one. Good one, buddy.
Thanks.
My 10th advice is next time you're trying to find a movie to watch, just press a movie. This is your sign. Don't doom scroll.
How
for
are you
an hour.
Gonna say that when you're completely the opposite of
what
that?
What do you mean? The last movie?
You
the
know,
last movie we
after
we just
1 hour.
All right, I'm telling you.
Skip he's that hour. Not this type of person.
Just press some real quick.
You know I'm
just
the type of person
real
to press
quick.
Something. You're not.
We're not doing this.
Okay.
Thank you so much for watching this episode of Difficult Touch. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, do all that. And
wait.
You know what?
We don't have a Bangla word of the day. The word for home in Bangla is basha.
Bashai.
Basha. Basha. Not bashai. Basha.
I say bashai.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for watching Difficult Dish. We love you.
Allah Hafiz.
Do you hear that? Life is all around you. Your care should be too. Highmark Whole Care gives you more than just health coverage. We offer Medicaid plans that cover the whole you, from doctors and medications to assistance with housing, transportation, and healthy meals. we can connect you to the care you need because you deserve good health all around. Because life, Highmark Whole Care. Visit us at highmarkwholecare.com/Medicaid.